We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. Fourth and final quarter of this Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by Keystone Sports Network. KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle here for one more part of the show. Ask Greg your Penn State football and recruiting questions. A lot of you guys filing questions on the Keystone Sports app, which, you know, our own Ross Tucker loves the Keystone Sports app. It's a nice, clean app. And despite our manager Jim's best efforts, he actually succeeded in something. So I'm proud of him for that. Jim. There's an Ask Greg button on there where you can fire off questions that will answer in the show here.
We gotta get Jim on this pick board, man. We need some more firepower because none of us are doing anything that's worthwhile.
That's true. Yeah, we got a pick board for each of our predictions. The predictions for the App State game were so bad.
Oh, yeah.
Thankfully, I can't graciously, they were just erased. So the Pitt ones stand. Todd Sadowski from Fox 43 had the closest thing with a 37-23 pick for the Pitt game. So good for him. We brought in a ringer for that one. This Ask Greg segment brought to you by tailgatewine.com, where they've got all kinds of award-winning wines. They include a Sapphire Blue, Blueberry Wine, the Old Main Pinot Grigio, the 1855. Vidal, three Penn State themed wines. You can check them out at tailgatewine.com. They even have a blue and white gift box for that blue and white fan in your life. Once again, tailgatewine.com. The best question, as determined by our friend Gregory over here, will get a bottle of tailgate wine. So there
you go. Sounds
good to me. All the more reason to download the Keystone Sports app, fire off a question for us. We're going to start with Don from Camp Hill. Something we touched on a little bit earlier here, Greg. Why have Penn State's reliable, sure-handed receivers, he puts in parentheses, last season, suddenly begun dropping catchable balls this season, talking about veterans like Juwan Johnson, DeAndre Tompkins, and Brandon Polk, while the new wide receivers and even tight ends have been more reliable pass catchers? What's going on? It's the same question I asked you earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are going to point to the easy answer, and that's that Penn State hired a receivers coach in David Corley, who taught receivers how to block at Army and not catch. But I don't think that has anything to do with it. Catching is, it's like riding a bike, Dustin. I mean, to me, the problem becomes more about execution than anything else. I mean, if you're at the college level and playing at Penn State and you need to be taught how to catch the football, something went wrong somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's pressure. I don't know if it's just lack of execution, lack of focus. I don't know. But it's pretty disconcerting the number of drops Penn State had. It almost goes in tandem with the number of missed tackles they've had.
Yeah, and really, I mean, I think they're probably going to spend a lot of time with the jugs gun this week. I think there's going to be a lot of time spent on just, you know, the basic.
Reminds me
the
of when Mike Gesicki would work behind practice with the blocking sled. It's a similar concept in this setting, I think.
Yes, yeah. So I think it's something that's going to get better over time. And I think that, you know, especially I think in Tompkins and Juwan Johnson's case, has Polk had a drops problem?
I don't really think he has.
Not really in the Pitt game. I'm just having a hard time recalling that part.
I mean, he didn't play a whole lot. Yeah, and last year wasn't. Yeah, so no, I don't think so at this point.
Yeah, so I think those two guys in particular, Tompkins with the three drops, this is not in their football character. So I think this is out of character, and whatever steps that need to be taken, you can be sure that James Franklin's going to take the steps. And I really think, you know, I think at the end of the day, this is just simple pitch and catch.
Do you blame the weather too? I mean, is it fair to blame the weather, or are we past that point? On the concern level, it plays a role, but I think it's still a factor.
Yeah.
Let me rephrase that, because that sounds ridiculous. It's definitely played a factor, but the 2 weeks of evidence is a little bit concerning.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you can maybe have a little bit of a pass. I think it was hard to be a hands catcher in the Pitt game. You know, you saw some of those catches. I think even with KJ Hamler's touchdown catch, he positioned himself so he could be a body catcher on that one. He reeled it into his body, which is not what is really the technique, but I think sometimes it's a sloppy game. I think each of Tompkins' three drops in the Pitt game were all just in and out of the hands.
Right.
So I think weather, played a part, but it is something that needs to be cleared up going forward. I have a hard time getting too revved up about it now because these guys have played too much football for it to linger for too long. That's my thought. This is a good one from Frank from Warminster. It's not on your sheet there, Greg. These are B tracks on the Ask Greg. So Frank wants to know, Greg, the Trace McSorley Apologist Club president.
Woo-hoo!
Have any, and this plays into the previous question too, have any recent Heisman Trophy candidates gone 14 for 30 in any game against an average team? That's what McSorley's passing line was.
You probably want Tommy Stevens to start too, right?
There's more, Greg.
Oh, right. Good.
Also, at what point does he start making the right decision on all the time on the RPO? Seems like 5 years would be enough time to learn to read the defensive end and linebacker. I don't dislike the kid. I just expect better from a fifth-year senior. This is – Frank is bringing all the fire.
It's horrible that Penn State scored 45 points against App State and 51 against Pittsburgh. I'm not even answering that question. We can move to the next one. I'll say this. You have to live with the fact that – Trace McSorley is going to have 3 to 5 series in every game that just look bad. And he looks like he overthrows somebody. He makes the wrong read. It just is what it is. But when you're scoring 45 and 51 points a game, why get hung up on the 5 series he plays poorly when you can look at all the ways that Penn State scores points? Now, look, 7 of the points against Pittsburgh came from DeAndre Tompkins, and 2 of them came on a safety. So they weren't all on the offense and Trace McSorley. But to get hung up on that in this when Penn State's 2-0, there's a lot of things to worry about. Receiver drops, Ricky Slade fumbles, missed tackles, pass rush, the run game defense in the first half, the pass defense against App State, the kicking game with Rafael. You know, I thought the kickoff team was better, but the kickoff goes out of bounds. There's a whole list of things you can worry about. To be worried about Trace McSorley is just beyond my level of comprehension.
Well, you need to get there, Greg, because Frank from Warminster.
I know Frank.
Stop making apologies for him, Greg.
You know, Frank has asked questions about Trace before, and there's been times I agree with him. But in this instance, I just think that we're at a point now where Trace, again, you just have to accept that there's going to be some series where he doesn't look like a Heisman Trophy winner. He doesn't look like a starting quarterback. And then there's times when he looks like he could start for any team in the country, and those are more often than the other ones.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg. Brought to you by Tailgate Wine, which you can find at all 4 Brewski locations in State College. So if you're in town for a game or you're just visiting State College, you can find your Tailgate Wine at any of those 4 convenient locations at the Days Inn on Pugh Street, 222 Beaver Avenue, South Atherton near the Super 8, and on Cato Avenue at the Nittany Budget Motel. Cato, I believe, right? Cato Avenue in State College. So there you go. 4 locations of Brewskis. You can find Tailgate Wine. You can also find them at tailgatewine.com. So Trace McSorley, I find it just the psychology of a football fan. If you're watching a game and your defense is on the field, and they start to string some play, the other team starts to string some plays together. You're like, okay, well this drive's over. They're going to score again. There's a certain pessimism that comes with that. Yeah. But when your offense is on the field and you're driving, it's like, well, you know, there's a lot of work to do yet. You know, it's hard to see them finishing this drive. They need a lot more to go right. I think that's just kind of part of the deal of watching Trace McSorley is that as a fan of Penn State, you're watching it differently than a neutral observer would be watching it. And I think the understanding and sometimes it's the expectation that Penn State's going to score points on every one of their drives. And that's just not going to be the case. And especially in 2 weeks where there's clearly a bunch of new pieces and there's a redefinition happening of Penn State's offense. There's a redefinition happening of Penn State's passing offense. The two guys you thought were going to be the most reliable haven't really emerged yet. KJ Hamler has in their place. The tight ends, you know, aren't the same. There's no longer that big, huge catch radius, that safety valve type player, especially in the red zone. So there's so much new stuff happening here. And I don't think this is making an apology for Trace McSorley. I think it's just stating...
Oh, I'll apologize for him.
I think it's stating obvious facts here that Penn State's passing offense is just not in its rhythm yet, and there's all kinds of reasons for that. And 14 out of 30 in the wind and rain with a bunch of drops, I don't know. I think even a Heisman Trophy contender would get a pass on that one. Phil from Rye, New York. Let's go to that one, Greg.
Ooh.
Want to know what you've seen from number 11. Is Micah Parsons going to be another LeVar Arrington? Your thoughts on the freshman through two games?
I thought he was much better, and there's a question I think we'll get to a little bit later, but I thought he was much better in this game than he was against App State. Thought it was really concerning that he was on the field late in the game and he came off limping. Now, he said after the game on social media that he was okay.
Looked like he was holding his head. And
yeah, it was strange. Well, if you watched,
he got rolled up.
If you watched the two or three plays before that, he was walking like somebody who was about to cramp up would walk. And then he goes in for that fumble. Aaron Monroe rolls up on his leg the wrong way. He comes Parsons comes off holding his hip. It was just a strange play all the way around. But I think that at the end of the day, I thought he looked pretty good out there. Look, there's times he gets lost and he doesn't know what exactly he's doing. But he more often than not, is able to overcome that with his speed and athleticism. So to me, I thought he had a pretty good game. Could he be better? Yeah, of course. But I thought he was pretty darn good. I'm not really thrilled with him being out there that late in the game, though.
Al from Woodbridge, Virginia. After watching the Pitt game, I want to know your opinion about most of the starters playing pretty deep into the fourth quarter. When the game had already been won, was it important to keep everyone in to catch their stride, or should we have seen more of the depth coming into the game to get reps?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show. Penn State, it just does it. This is what they do. It is who they are at this point. The other thing I would say is that James Franklin said after the game that he didn't like the way Penn State finished its game against App State in the fourth quarter. Who would? So, you know, he wanted to keep his guys in there. And Penn State rotates throughout the game, so guys get reps throughout the game. I just don't care for – it's sloppy. If it's sunny in 75, whatever. A game like this where you could – you know, and that Heinz Field was terrible. Whatever money the Steelers saved not paying Le'Veon Bell should immediately go into to fix Heinz Field, because that was terrible. I mean, they had a tarp on it before the game, and it was a mud fest before kickoff. And then in the fourth quarter, it was even worse. Get your guys out of there. Put the backups in. Some of these guys are backups, I know. But you expect Parsons to do a lot this year, to have him out there late, to have some of the starters out there late. Trace McSorley was taken down with a vicious face mask that could have posed a problem. I know why James Franklin does what he does. He's not going to change it, so there's no reason belaboring the point. I don't agree with it, though.
Yeah,
it only takes one injury for your whole plan to unravel, I guess is what I'll leave it at.
There's potential to second guess everything. I think that you're going to have this complaint about James Franklin on and on and on. This is going to be ongoing because he errs on the side of finishing the game. And college football is a crazy game, right? So, I know it's being overly concerned about this, but like, it doesn't take much to make a mistake and for, you know, even four touchdowns start to disappear. Or if you make a mistake, you give up one, you give up a second one. Now suddenly you got a football game back on your hands. So I think you're always going to see Franklin doing that.
Yeah.
Who's your best question for the week?
Oh, I'm going to go with Al, the last question of the day. I think it's something that a lot of people have on their mind and want to talk about. So he is this week's winner. Congrats,
good for you, Al. Al from Woodbridge asking about starters playing late in the game, and then to go with that, Sean Clifford throwing a big-time touchdown late in the last 4 minutes of the game. So there you go. Tailgate Wine is coming your way. Thanks for tuning in this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Check us out 24 hours a day. KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.